Hey, and welcome back to the podcast. At the start of the year, I took my church through the letter to the Galatians. Now, this letter is short, but it's full to the brim with content. So enjoy as we grapple with how big Jesus is and how he changes everything. So I still clearly remember the Christmas. I don't know if you can remember these. Christmas when I got the toy that I've been waiting for months. Kids, do you recognise that? Yeah? All of my friends had them. And finally, I was going to be able to join them on the street outside. We used to play in the streets when I was a child. Don't happen much anymore. On the street outside, it was a remote-controlled car. The box lists all the things it can do. 360-degree rotation, whatever that means. Flashing lights. Music. All things that I now reckon would be pretty annoying, really. But then my dreams for a Christmas Day remote-controlled frenzy were dashed. Batteries not included. The promise of all that a present could do were dashed because the batteries were not included. Now, we saw last week that the Christians, the Galatians, are free, but they're not to use their freedom to indulge the flesh. Instead, we saw they're to slave one another. But that leaves us wondering, how is that possible? How can I love others rather than myself? Is it like my remote-controlled car making grand promises, but the batteries are not included? Well, that's where we turn this week. And we're going to see that God gives us the Holy Spirit. So we should live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And to explain this, we have three lessons that we need to learn. Three lessons that we need to grasp. And the first of those is what I alluded to earlier with our first song. Christians have a war within. That's in verses 16 to 18 of Galatians 5. See, there's a war between the spirit and the flesh, as verse 17 says. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. The flesh wants the opposite of the spirit, and the spirit wants the opposite of the flesh. And there's a tension. There's a conflict between the two. Both are pulling the Christian in different directions. Every choice, every action, do you go the way of the flesh or do you go the way of the spirit? So in that situation that all Christians face, the internal war going on, Paul commands in verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So day to day, live by the Spirit. Make the decision to walk by the Spirit. Continue as you started, following his direction. To live, or you could say to walk, requires determination. In fact, it demands it. It's an active, a present thing to be doing. You have to get up. You have to go and walk. It's not just something you do by default. Day by day, living by the Spirit. And the promise there, it's the consequence of doing that, is Paul says there in that verse, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that one verse is fascinating. Paul is saying that all you need to live the Christian life is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only sure guide for a Christian's life. The Holy Spirit is the guide for Christian behaviour. He tells us how to live. Now, it's likely that the Galatians had been told by the false teachers that it was good that they started well, but now they needed the law to tell them how to carry on, how to live a life that is pleasing to God. But Paul says, no, live by the Spirit and you will live the way that God wants, the way that fulfills the law, as we saw last week. Now, it may be easy to get pessimistic in that battle. It may appear that way from verse 17, that the Christian is caught in a battle between two equal and opposing sides. But Paul's not pessimistic. That's actually why verse 18's there. He sticks in a big but. into verse 18. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, the Spirit is more powerful than our flesh. And of course, we know that, don't we? We know it in our heads, because the Holy Spirit is God, after all. So the Spirit is going to win in the end. But sometimes it doesn't feel that way, does it? Well, in verse 16, the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit giving us direction. In verse 18, the emphasis is on the power he gives. The Spirit gives us the power to do the right thing. The batteries come included. That means we forgive, not because the law says forgive, but because we've been loved first, and the Spirit compels us. Paul states again in that verse, reminding us we're not under law. Remember, that age has passed away. There's no more babysitter needed. The Spirit enables us to do what God wants. How might that affect us today? Well, are we aware of the war going on in our lives? You see, it's not just a thing that some Christians face. It's a thing that all Christians face. And notice, Paul doesn't say that's a weak thing either. If you're here this evening and you're thinking, I'm not doing very well as a Christian because you're battling some area of your life, well, Paul's saying here, don't be worried, be encouraged. It shows you're living the Christian life. It shows you that you're alive. It shows you that you have the batteries included. But progress in that war is slow. Walking, living in the Spirit is part of the journey, but it's not an overnight result. So this week, as we fight the war within, remember, God promises to finish what he started, to make us more like his Son, the Lord Jesus. But, you may be thinking, how can we be sure that we are following the Spirit, not the flesh? Is there any obvious way to know which power we're following? Well, if we're thinking that, it means we're tracking along with Paul, because that's where he now turns. The second lesson, which side you're on, is obvious, and that's in verses 19 to 23. And we get two lists here. You probably noticed that as we read it. We've got the list of the works of the flesh versus the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And hopefully you saw the difference is obvious. There's no elite skills needed to spot the difference. There is an objective basis for evaluation. Let's have a look at the acts or the works of the flesh. And as I read them, just think to yourself, how easy are these to actually see? How easy are these to spot? We've got sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You can split those into four areas. There's the sexual sins at the start of verse 19. Those are followed by the religious sins, the rejection of God. Those are followed by a much longer list of social sins, sins against other people, issues that the Galatians would have known firsthand. Perhaps that's why there's more of them. And then you've got the sins of excess, of having too much. And Paul says, and the like. Paul leaves the list open. He could go on and on and on and on. But what is it that ties all those things together? What is the root of all those things? That's what we thought about before, isn't it? It's the desires of the flesh. The focusing in on ourselves rather than other people. It's saying me rather than we. And Paul gives us a stark warning there. We've already seen we shouldn't skip over the warnings because they're there for our good. And the warning's there at the end of verse 21. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's those whose life, whose walk is characterized by those things. Those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And why is that? Well, because the Spirit is against those things. So a Christian, someone who is saved by Christ crucified, believing the true gospel, someone who is being led by the Spirit, will say no to letting these things characterize their lives. Instead, in verses 22 to 23, Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As I've said before in the previous weeks, fruit comes from a root, and the root, being the Spirit, leads to those characteristics. We do what we are. And I had that before this morning. That seems, everything dovetails together. We do what we are. All Christians, all those living and being led by the Spirit, produce these things. Now again, Paul isn't saying these things spring up overnight, but all of these things will be present in some way in the life of a believer. So the side you're on is obvious. So the question is for us, which of those is winning out in our lives? Is it the flesh or is it the Spirit? As we went through those lists, it might have struck you how obvious the difference is between those two. And Paul says it is obvious. And that means we should be trying, or we should be able to, discern for ourselves what our actions are saying. There's a difference between knowing up here and what our hands end up doing, as we saw this morning. But it also means that others will see what's going on. And that's why we keep mentioning, keep talking about having other people there to call you to account. Those there who can ask the awkward questions that you don't really want to have raised. And we should be willing and able to do that for one another. We're a family, after all, and it's the loving thing to do. But I want to encourage us as well. We should be able to look back over our lives and see that the Spirit has been at work, making us more like Christ. So look back over your life, think where you've come from, and be thankful. But as I said, this war is going on in the life of all believers. So there may be areas in your life where you're not doing as well as other areas. So I encourage you to look over these two lists and to think about them. Get someone else to speak with and pray for one another. God promises to complete the work he began. The batches are included, so it is possible. Well, that brings us to the last point. If the decision is clear and obvious, what should we do about it? Our final lesson, verse 24, be clear and decisive about which you follow. Here's verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, hopefully you see there, the language isn't that of a peaceful negotiation between two warring sides. It's not even what we see going on in Parliament at the moment. That's kind of civilish. No, this is violent. This is an execution. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Could say they've nailed their colours to the mast. And the have word there is something that has happened and something that is ongoing. See, each and every day, every action, every thought, well, we're deliberately putting our sinful desires to death. And that wording reminds us of earlier in the letter to the Galatians, of Christ who takes the punishment for the times that we do slip up and let the flesh have control. You see, the war is ongoing, but the war has already been won. There is grace where we need grace, and we all need to know that, however many years we've been on the Christian path. And we have the power to do it. So unlike my Christmas Day disappointment, God does provide the power for change. The batches are included. So live by the flesh, live by the Spirit. Ignore that. Live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Trying to catch you out there.
Well, there's some things to chew on. Why not let me know what you think by sending an email? The details are in the show notes. But until next time, get on with praising God this week.